And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Send the stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What do we do?
Give the people what they want.
I think yesterday's podcast was one of my favorite podcasts we've done in years.
Really?
Because we used to just get in the studio, no executive supervision, you know, like no rules, no rundown, and just talk about whatever and just see where it goes. That's kind of felt like it happens yesterday's podcast, you know? And you were just really opened up for our audience. You really let us on the inside.
I brought you into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Under the sheets. Club.
Shooting up the club. I told my wife that you did that, and she was shocked. She's like, on the podcast? And I could see her wheels moving. She was like, I should start listening to these.
She ain't.
Because if he's saying that, Lord knows what you are saying. We got a ton to get to. The NBA season is starting to start. But we start with Vontaze Burfict. His teammates and his coach, John Gruden and Derek Carr, addressed the media in the wake of his season-long suspension, and here's what they had to say.
It hurts our team really bad, and I'm anxious to see what the appeal says. I'm not happy about it at all.
We say, you know, we're all about people, but sometimes we don't get to know people, right? I think he's one of the most misunderstood people in the NFL. He quickly turned into one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. He's one of the most genuine, awesome people I've ever been around. He's a great teammate. He works his tail off, and he's a great guy. To be honest with you, I know that he's had history in other places, but I think people change. I don't think he was trying to hurt that man. We see other people choking people out, and they're going to play this Sunday. We see other people hitting people in the helmets, and they're going to play this Sunday. And Vontaze Burfict won't play the rest of the year. I think that's a little excessive, if you ask me.
Huh, Derek Carr finished pretty strong there. We see other people choking people out, and they're going to play. We see other people helmet-to-helmet hits, and they're going to play this Sunday. Says he's a great guy. I think by now we've all seen the habitual line stepping of Mr. Burfict over the course of his career. But listening to that sound, I do kind of start to think that maybe he will play this season. Do you think he will be back this season?
He will be back this season, and you and I were consistent when this story first happened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the penalty was excessive.
As did I.
Because, number one, I'm always hesitant to take away someone's livelihood. And for those that say, what about him hitting somebody, taking away their livelihood? That's why you have to judge each situation by the intent mm-hmm. and the result.
See, that's the thing, is intent is very important, but the result is also important.
Correct. Because had the person he hit got seriously injured with the history that Burfict had, then I would feel different.
Mm-hmm.
But since that did not necessarily take place, I don't think he should be suspended for the entire year. And little known fact, while your history clearly does matter in the court of law.
It does matter.
In the NFL, they basically legislate that each instance is an isolated one.
That's what they say. But it is impossible to look at this hit and to look at Vontaze Burfict's career of habitual line stepping and say, I'm only going to look at this in an isolated incident. It's impossible to do so. It is.
Well, we always talk time and time again about the decisions that people make on and off the court, mm-hmm. the field, or wherever. There have been some people that have made some terrible decisions that still played NFL games. They weren't suspended for an entire season.
Four games, eight games, terrible decisions.
Okay.
Ugly, ugly, ugly things we've seen on video. Not as ugly as this. Another thing I want to make clear here is, did he lead with his helmet? Yes. But he didn't launch himself. If you see it, when he makes contact, his foot is on the ground.
And also, while the rule has changed and we all must evolve as people, football is a violent game. You have people running as fast as they can, hitting another adult as hard as they can, mm-hmm. and the ball, the play isn't over till the ball is down. That's what the game is. So you're going to have guys out there that's trying to go for your neck.
Yeah.
Because their job is to hit you as hard as they can to dislodge the football. And again, I'm not excusing his behavior. I'm not excusing him doing it habitually. What I am saying is he should not be suspended for the season. I say it should be like 3 games.
But 4 games feels about right to me, but regardless. And you said there are players out in the football field going for your neck, right?
Absolutely.
One of those players is a gentleman by the name of Marlon Humphreys. He plays for the Ravens, and he did a great job locking down Odell Beckham Jr. on Sunday.
You like what I did
there,
right?
He did a great job. You know, I thought I did it, but anyway. He did a great job locking him down, and he started getting Odell frustrated. There's a little fracas between the two of them, and then it ended up with Humphreys choking Odell Beckham Jr. I'm sorry. Allegedly choking Odell Beckham Jr. because the Ravens website put up a post in defense of Humphreys that said he actually did not choke Odell Beckham Jr. Freddie Kitchens of the Browns basically said, "Did you see the video? I rest my case." Jalen, what do you think about the Ravens websites riding for their guy saying he didn't choke him when we all saw him choke him?
That goes to my point exactly. You're going to defend the people you come to the party with.
Yes.
And if you're the Ravens, you're like, well, he was just trying to snatch his chain.
No, you know, he was holding him down.
We've seen that happen before.
He was being attacked. In an NFL game. So he held him down to make sure that he would stop the attack. That's kind of what he's saying. He held him down is what they're saying.
And beyond him going too far, and that is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh,
he should have gotten flagged.
Oh, and ejected.
He should have gotten ejected. He should have gotten punished by the league. But you know what didn't happen? Any of those things.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so now when it's like that, like Derek Carr say, you can't go to the extreme with Vontaze Burfict. That's the issue that people have with the NFL and under Roger Goodell's leadership. The level of inconsistency seems to continue to happen as it relates to punishment. That's why the players continue to disrespect him publicly, unlike you see in other professional sports.
But I do. In a weird way, kind of respect the Ravens organization for riding for their guy. They're like, what do you mean choke? I didn't see a choke. I saw a man defending himself. I don't even know what you're talking about. I do love the blind loyalty. I love that.
But also, here's the thing. If you're Odell, I know he was mad he lost his earring. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Those are expensive.
They're really expensive, but he got insurance. I'm just joking. But Humphreys went to Odell to apologize after the game. And allegedly, when he apologized, he was asked, did Odell accept it? He's like, I don't know. Not really. You know what I'm saying? So again, he didn't get punished. So we can show the footage.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't get fined, it's almost like it didn't happen.
Which was more of a violation to the rules of football? Burfict's or Humphreys? Humphreys.
Humphreys.
It's outside of the game. Like, it's outside of the
Correct.
Play of the game.
Correct.
Like, Burfict was trying to make a tackle. Did he do
Correct.
So illegally? Yes.
Correct.
But what Humphreys did was excessive and was outside the game of football.
Well said. Yes, sir.
Moving on. Last night, we had the NL wild card win or go home playoff game between the Brewers and the Nationals. Nationals brought out Max Scherzer. He kind of got rocked early. The Brewers got to him, hitting some balls over the wall. It looked bad for the Nationals until the end of the game. This is them getting at Scherzer early and look bad, you know? But then this Juan Soto at the plate, 20-year-old man, hits this line drive. Uh-oh. Trent Grisham makes the error, empties the bases. Soto gets caught in a pickle at the end of it and gets out, but he doesn't seem to be bothered by it. So, Jalen, you've been in some win-or-go-home games in your career, especially your college career, and you've seen some, I won't call them errors, but some missteps in critical points at the end of the game. How would you help Trent Grisham cope with making an error that cost his team the game?
First, I want to always acknowledge this. You ready? That didn't cost him the game.
That's fair. And
that's the mentality that people that play need to have, that people that don't play
it's the eighth inning.
Have.
It's the eighth inning.
Just like Bill Buckner.
We got 3 more outs.
Okay? They still have more baseball to play.
We got 3 more outs.
Just like
we're down by one.
Yep. There was still more baseball to play. So, in theory, as an athlete, you got to think that did not cost the game. When we were in college and the infamous timeout happened, if you look back at the footage, that's exactly what I'm saying in the huddle. Because anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Reggie Miller late heroics in games. Like,
how much time is left? 5-6 seconds or something?
It don't matter. It ain't over.
It's not.
It ain't over. So it's unfortunate that it happened to him, but he's such a young player that he's going to put so much footage out there that won't necessarily represent his career. But at the same time, this is a memorable play. It goes down as something that people are going to tease him about.
And also, they don't get to this wild card playoff game without Trent Grisham and the rest of the team stepping up when Yelich went down.
Yes,
gotta recognize that.
Absolutely. But I'm telling you, it's so funny. It's almost like when people try to tease me about Kobe scoring 81. When you play sports so long, you're going to be on the wrong side of something. Yeah. I don't care if it's getting dunked on. I don't care if it's getting crossed over. I don't care if somebody throwing 7 touchdowns, somebody rushing for 300 yards.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
But you've never been dunked on?
Never.
I guess some things don't happen. We also have, I love these one game win or go home games that they've instituted in Major League Baseball. We have one tonight between Tampa Bay Rays and the A's. Also just happens to be on ESPN at 8 o'clock if you want to tune in. If you're on the West Coast, it starts at 5 o'clock. Excited about that, but I'm also excited about this. Jalen Rose, you texted us something that you really wanted to talk about. We need you to take us behind the curtain. Clippers rookies, Terrence Mann and Fiondu Cabangeli, had to do some rookie duties. I guess it's the thing that happens in the NBA. I want you to take us behind the curtain and explain it. But first, let's check in with these two rookies in a run to Chick-fil-A.
It's Kawhi's, not mine.
Rookie duties. Got to get food for the vets. Chick-fil-A is a must.
I'm done.
Bring the sauces. Some spices, some mild, mix it up. Got to get the 2-liter with the cups. So, in a box.
Secret box. Can't talk about that, but it's an important box.
Okay. I have a lot of follow-up questions for you. Number one, I respect that he said you got to bring the sauces. Don't bring me Chick-fil-A without bringing the sauces. Number two, seems like a very unhealthy meal for professional athletes trying to get back into shape during training camp.
Not true.
Number three, what is in the secret box? And number four, take us behind the curtain. Is this just regular rookie duties when you're in the National Basketball Association?
Just regular rookie duties. And I know that we want to legislate quote-unquote hazing out of sports, especially physically. In professional sports, it's a little bit different because we're all millionaires.
We're all millionaires.
So now what can I do that shows that you're a young player willing to sacrifice to earn the trust of the vets? That's all that is. And so the secret box could be a lot of things. It could be poker chips.
That's a big box for poker chips, Jalen Rose.
It could be a lot of different things.
What is in the box?
Yeah.
Where's Bob Lee?
We need Bob Lee out of retirement. To launch an investigation.
What is in the secret box? It looked like clothing, I think.
But it's clothes. They were going on a road trip. It was clothes.
That's what it felt like.
I was just joking about poker chips. But here's the thing I want to make sure I stress. As a rookie, okay, the vets can ask you to do all types of things to get in your pocket, to get in your time, to make sure that you're invested in the squad. Now, if they think that that's hard, going to Chick-fil-A, wait till they get on the road and they're in Denver and they look down at their hotel room phone and it's ringing. You better answer it. I don't care what time of night it is. If somebody wants them to go on a CVS run.
What are you talking about, Jalen?
Somebody going to have them go on a CVS run.
But, I mean, who would ask you to do that for what?
That's what vets ask young players to do.
Yeah, I know exactly. The middle of the night. I just wanted to see if you would say it on wax.
It's obvious.
I wanted to see if you would say it on wax.
And then another thing that Rooks got to do, the separate room got to go in the Rooks' name.
Okay. Shout. To Dikembe Mutombo.
Shout out.
Plants capture CO2. Plants are so crucial to this environment. We're losing them every single day. But here's the thing. What if we could help industrial plants also capture CO2? Think about how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. Jalen Rose, I watched this game last night. Game 2 of the WNBA Finals between the Sun and the Mystics. I got some bad news. Early on in the game on this play, nice little post move from MVP Deladon. Nothing crazy happens, no twisted ankles or anything, but you see her little ginger walks back to the training area. She had back spasms. And What that did was let the Suns sort of take a lead. And in the fourth quarter, the Mystics tied it, but the Sun ran away with the game, evening the series at 1-1 in the finals. My question to you is this. We don't know if Deladon will be back for Game 3 on Sunday. There's a big break between those games. But if they don't have her back, how does a team lose an MVP-level player in such an important series and still try to win?
Usually you don't end up winning because the best players are why you're there, especially the one that wins MVP this year.
Yes.
Not like a 10-year ago MVP. She won it this season, right?
What? Yes.
This season,
this
right?
This season.
Okay. And people underestimate the physical toll that sports, in particular basketball, take on your body. Shout to the Sun for getting it done.
Shout out.
In her mind, though, if you have a back injury and you have a few days, it's good to probably leave the game, give it a chance to heal. I believe she's going to return, but if she doesn't, the first thing I thought about looking at the injury and when she walked off was she was wearing a mask.
Wearing a knee brace.
She's wearing a knee brace.
Her back problems. I was thinking the same thing. Talk about the physical toll. So she got the mask on. She got the big knee brace. It's not like a little knee wrap.
Correct.
Big knee brace.
Yes.
And the back spasm. And it wasn't a non-contact injury, but you couldn't really see what went wrong, which makes me feel like there might be a deeper issue with her back. I hope she's back because she's so much fun to watch. I'll be tuning in to Game 3 on Sunday. Well, the New Orleans Pelicans.
The Pelican Fly!
I love it when you do it. The New Orleans Pelicans!
And they got Zion now. They're gonna be doing a lot of flying.
They are not a title contender. They're a playoff fringe team.
I like them though.
But I wanna watch their games. And one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons I wanna watch their games. And one of the reasons I wanna watch their games is just one of the most intriguing things about this upcoming season is what exactly Zion will look like in an NBA game. How will he manifest himself? And Pelicans veteran Jrue Holiday had this to say about his first practice with the young phenom.
I think he was trying to figure out just how this first practice is going to be. To me, I still feel like he's a little kid. Anybody who's 19 is still a little kid. You see, I mean, it's just crazy to me. He's like the strongest little kid that I've ever seen.
He's 19 years old. That's one thing I forget about Zion Williamson. He's 19 years old. All this pressure, all the expectations on a 19-year-old. He said he's the strongest little kid he's ever seen in his life. Like, what do you think it's like for Zion to be at practice in the NBA at 19?
Well, I think that he's eager to prove himself, but a lot of development with the young player has to do with the atmosphere that you surround him by.
Mm.
It's discussed a lot when we talk about quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes.
Not so much about draft picks. And you know, I stand on the table and talked about this when DeMarcus Cousins got drafted by the Kings, for example, how there is such a thing of being drafted to the wrong team at the wrong time.
Yes.
For Zion, this is the absolute right team at the perfect time. You got a big-time point guard that's a max player, that's a seasoned veteran in Jrue Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You got a stability at the coaching position in Alvin Gentry. You're filling a spot that was lost last year in Julius Randle.
Yep.
Similar size, both lefties.
Yep. And look at all these players. Favors. People sleep they got Favors. Okafor, who played pretty well, and my man Jackson Hayes. Like, Jackson Hayes, if you didn't watch Summer League or you didn't watch him in college, he's exciting to watch.
And you got a shooter in J.J. Redick, who's a consummate pro. Josh Hart off the bench is going to be a lockdown defender. But here's the most important thing that he has. And this is really important for a guy that's so very athletic like Zion.
What's that?
He got cats that he can run with.
Yes, yes.
He got cats that he can run with.
And one
Zoe's going to be trying to get up and down. Ingram going to be trying to get up and down.
And Zoe doesn't try to get up and down. Zoe has a slept-on passing ability. Like, he's on that, like, Ben Simmons, LeBron James level passing. And he plays defense. One of the things that people always say about Zoe is the yeah, but. Yeah, but he can't shoot. He shoots like 40-something percent from the free throw line. And his shot doesn't look pretty. But Jalen, we've got new footage of Lonzo Ball's jump shot. We've got new footage of Lonzo Ball's jump shot. Looks pretty good, Jay. He's goosenecking. He's not taking it across to his left shoulder anymore. I've never seen you look so serious in a video before. I've never seen you be so attentive when we run video before. What are you seeing, Dr. Rose?
Well, I was just trying to watch his feet because, like, I wanted to make sure they were lined up properly. I was trying to watch his follow through, if it was in front of his face and his eyes. I was trying to make sure that he held his follow through as the ball got to the hoop.
So what did you see?
I saw an improved jumper.
It's an improved jumper. He used to bring it across his face, correct, shoot from his left shoulder. It's not smooth. You know what I mean? It's not perfect. It's not Klay Thompson, but it's definitely on the right side of his face, and he's finishing straightforward with the goose.
And so here's one of the things that I said about Brett Brown in Philly.
What's that?
How much footage have you seen of one of their coaches shooting with Markelle Fultz as the number one overall pick when he was there?
And how many times did they say they got the shot doctor and things are looking better and things are looking better?
That's what I mean by about a young player being in the right place at the right time. You get quality player development. That's what we saw right there.
So I'm ready for the season to start. I've seen Ben Simmons shooting threes. I've seen Lonzo retool his shot. I've seen James Harden shoot off one leg. It's all cute when you do it in August and September. But will these things happen in October and November? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'll answer your question. James Harden will shoot the one-leg shot as a heat check.
As long as it goes in.
As a heat check. Not as a, he ain't about to be starting the game with
He's 4-for-5 from three. Let's see if I can bring it out.
And players, you know, do that every level. That's going to be a heat check shot. Ben Simmons, you don't go from not shooting 12 to 18 footers to Larry Bird at the three-point line.
No.
So I would be happy to see him shooting mid-range shots this year and be comfortable with that. I don't believe he's going to be shooting 4 or 5 threes
a game. Lonzo reverts back to the old form?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. What are your
why I was watching it like that.
What are your expectations for the Celtics? I mean, I expect to see a lot of Pelicans basketball because I love League Pass.
Pelicans
what
are your expectations?
How high do you think the Pelicans fly this year?
9th or 10th in the West.
We're not getting an eight seed.
Well, let me tell you off the top of the dome, and I know some fans are going to say you forgot about my team. Lakers, Clippers, Houston, Utah, Denver, Portland, Spurs.
We're so bad at listing
Golden
things.
Golden State are all going to be in the playoffs.
I could see the Pelicans getting in.
Over who?
And the Spurs. And then you also can't account for injuries. You can't account for anything.
But we gotta take into account. This is Die Easy Jacoby talking.
I'm a Die Easy Spurs fan.
You have two things happening here.
That's what's in play. We've been doing the show a long time. You know exactly how my brain works. Fly Pelicans fly. Jalen, this is one of those I need to talk to Jalen about this topic.
Okay.
The Heat started training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody shows up. James Johnson got sent home. Here is what the Heat had to say about the reason that they sent Mr. Johnson home. They said, James Johnson will miss the beginning of camp because he fell short of our conditioning requirements. Once he fulfills and maintains those requirements, he will rejoin the team. Jalen, how out of shape do you have to be before they send you home from training camp? Are you supposed to train in training camp?
So let me give you some context.
Please do.
The Miami Heat are uniquely positioned with this topic.
Why's that?
When I was in the league, they were one of the teams that I acknowledged that took strength and conditioning to the umpteenth degree.
Mm.
They would weigh their players every week. They make sure that you're not coming to training camp to get in shape. You're in shape when you arrive at training camp. So you got to hit a certain number on that scale or you fall below.
I mean, what if you build muscle, though?
You got to hit a number on that scale because they have a strength and conditioning team designated to acknowledge your body type, what you've carried, and what's anticipated. And by the way, we're not just talking about a guy that isn't about being in shape.
No.
James Johnson is an umpteenth degree black belt.
Oh, yeah. He's famously.
He can run up a wall like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, he's famously athletic, especially when it comes to martial arts.
Exactly. But again, when you have that leadership from the top down, everybody's locking step.
It's about the Heat culture.
That lets you know that there's a locking step there. Pat Riley, same page. Eric Spoelstra, same page. Strength and conditioning. No way around it.
Did you ever show up to camp and people look you up and down and poke you in the belly and be like, Jalen?
Probably. I ain't gonna act like, you know.
You showed up to the studio and I'm looking up now and be like, Jalen.
But it's different.
Long weekend?
It's different. 12 years later. But one of the things I do as a player, I also do as a media. Like you always say, keep expectations low.
Keep them low.
So I like to make people think I'm not doing nothing, but in my mind and in my action, I'm trying to outwork everybody. You don't show up and not be in shape and then start the season to have a 43-point game. I've been there.
That's not how it works.
No.
Well, we have to update you on this very important story in sports. The Dame and Shaq back and forth. Now, you and I spent yesterday, we listened to Shaq's diss record. We had the opportunity, like, in real time to listen to Dame's diss record. And me and you both clearly, unanimously decided that who won the battle. Dame. Seemed pretty clear to me that Dame won that battle. But, however, others in the media feel differently. Jalen, now that we both had some time to listen a couple times, to sit on this and think about it, how could anyone listen to these two tracks and think that Shaquille O'Neal won?
Well, you and I were talking about this. I think their styles of rap on their diss tracks resemble who they were as players.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq was bully ball, demonstrative, angry,
emotional. Yeah.
Okay.
Pushing people around.
Personal.
Yes.
Dame was smooth.
Stone-faced.
Measured.
Calculated.
And
technically sound.
Correct. Was sniping.
Yes.
Had Mike drop snipes. Came with an original beat.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't run to one of the safe beats that you and I talked about, like the grinding.
Benjamin beat, grinding.
Benjamin.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
And so, and what people don't understand is what that does is if you go to a beat that people love, they're going to start bobbing their head and supporting it.
Pavlovian effect. Yeah.
Correct. Before they even hear the lyrics. And that's the average rap fan who don't pay attention to the lyrics. If you're paying attention to the lyrics, Dame dropped bars.
And Shaq talks about Shaq. Shaq talked about Shaq the whole time and threw a couple jabs at Dame. Dame talked about Shaq the whole time. But in Shaq's defense, Shaq has given the culture a lot more of reason to diss him. He's put a lot more, there's a lot more things that he's done and said and admitted to that you can diss him for, where Dame is kind of not so much as extroverted as Shaquille.
Can I go there? What you basically said, Shaq is older.
Yeah.
And Dame is younger than
but
me.
But Shaq's personality is out there. He's extroverted. He'll make fun of himself. Like,
correct.
He'll admit to things.
Correct.
He self-deprecates. Where,
yes.
Dame isn't necessarily that type of personality. Well, I definitely feel like Dame won, but I'm definitely waiting for Shaq to respond. I hope this goes all the way until the opening day. We got 21 more days. I'm here for 3 weeks going back and forth, guys.
We got to get them to come on the show and do a battle.
We should.
Shout out.
Jalen, you're a little bit of a back and forth in the media yourself, and I don't even think you know it. You really haven't seen this video I'm about to play you. You think Shaq and Dame are dissing each other? You need to look in your own house. You need to look in your own family. You need to talk to the NBA Countdown family, because your man, the truth, Paul Pierce, is out here thinking that you won't see this clip I'm about to play you.
The one or two players you destroyed through your whole NBA career. Now, we know you destroyed a whole bunch of players, but is there two that really stick out?
If they're not watching live, I hope this gets replayed for them.
I will send it to them.
One is Richard Jefferson on the Nets.
Cop that, Richard.
And Jalen Rose, Indiana and Bulls. Destroyed.
He looked right at the camera and said, I hope they play this for him. And said, he destroyed you.
Well, he a Hall of Famer. I'm not.
So is the truth telling the truth?
He a Hall of Famer. That's all I can say. He a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's been in multiple All-Star games. I haven't. I played against him many times.
Trying to get a charge there.
And when he got drafted, I even worked out with him that summer. So I always wanted to see him clearly do well.
So you're getting some buckets, though.
That's my brother. And I think he should be probably accurate.
Did he destroy you?
Well, I wouldn't say destroy.
Destroy seems like a strong word.
You ready for this? I can't name a player besides Kobe Bryant I can say destroy me.
That's fair. Well, we don't really like to do much research or preparation on this show, as you know. But we did actual research on this one. So we've got some numbers of some of the head-to-head matchups. These aren't exactly covering each other.
Whoa!
But we got some numbers.
Hmm.
It looks like, wait a second. When you were on the Pacers, you were on the Celtics. We'll give you this later. 9-4, 4-9. He outscored you by 4 points, out-rebounded you by 4 boards. Field goal percentage is basically equal. I don't know if that's destroyed. I don't know if that's destroyed. I mean,
I don't know if that's destroyed. 4-9?
I don't know if that's destroyed.
Some of my favorite games, however, in the NBA for the regular season. Remember, Larry Bird was my coach.
Mm-hmm.
Former Celtic legend. So when we played against the Celtics, that was personal. Each time we went to Boston, and there's going to be somebody that works in the garden, like, I was wondering who did this. I used to always write LB33 on the leprechaun at half court. Every time after shoot around. So all, I guess, 13 of those times, I did it each time.
You notice that we didn't put the assist numbers up because neither of y'all get assists. Neither of y'all pass the ball.
But what I will say, he's also not only my brother, but the closest person to dunking on me. I was behind
him. Yeah, you were behind him. But you notice how he did say two people that were in the media. You know what I mean? He did, two people that were in his phone, two people that were in the media. He picked some safe harbors to park that. I destroyed them both in. Jalen Rose, time for our signature segment. It is time for Soft Move or Bust. After the Vikings lost to the Bears, Adam Thielen went to the media and criticized his quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Kind of broke the code there. Well, guess what? Do you know what Kirk Cousins did in response? He apologized to Adam Thielen. Said he watched the film and said, you know what? There's some opportunities that I didn't get him the ball. Jalen, apologizing to someone who criticized you through the media. Soft move or boss move?
Boss move. Because as a quarterback, you want to make sure that you're on the same page with your wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it ain't what you do, it's how you do it.
Yep.
And we've seen diva receivers over the beginning of time and how they behaved in the NFL. Thielen wasn't doing that in this case. He asked a question. He was asked a question, gave an honest assessment, and Kirk Cousins went back and looked at it and was like, man, I was missing him.
Let me interrupt, though, because there's a part of Kirk Cousins that I'm sure that if he, talking to his best friend after three beers, was like, he wasn't that open. What is he talking about? I wasn't getting protection. And this is kind of reminds me of like a fight with my wife. Sometimes you just got to apologize and admit you're wrong, even if in your heart of heart you don't feel that way. That's what I feel like Kirk
is
doing.
Well, I feel two things are happening.
He's a leadership.
Here.
He's a leadership.
One, I was watching that game. There was a couple of times where he was three, four steps open and he missed them. That's one.
That's fair.
Number two, they paid him $80 million. He's like, man, you can say whatever,
whatever
dog.
You want to say. Yeah, whatever. All day.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Whatever, dog.
And Andy Reid, there's an article on ESPN.com sort of detailing some stories from people that he's worked with over the years. And one story that stuck out to me was this one is, Andy Reid went to one of these restaurants. They always have these challenges. They say, if you can eat this 40-ounce steak in 60 minutes, we're going to give you a chef's hat and put your picture on the wall. Him and Steve Mariucci were there. Andy Reid ate a 40-ounce steak in 19 minutes. Eating a 48-ounce steak with 41 minutes to spare, soft move or boss move?
Oh, man, that's a lot of cowl on your stomach,
that's
man.
A lot.
Oh, my goodness.
In 19
goodness.
Minutes?
That's a full one.
In 19 minutes?
Somebody could go milk Andy Reid right now. He living his best life.
Soft move or boss move?
And he stayed within who he is, so that's a boss move.
It's a boss move. Jalen, outside of the University of Michigan, what is your favorite college football team?
The U.
The U. The U has revolutionized the college football game with the turnover chain, right? Great idea. It's often imitated, never duplicated.
Correct.
So they went in and they said, you know what? Everyone's going to bite that. We're going to keep innovating. Now they have the touchdown rings. They have two four-finger rings that spells hurricanes that you get when you score a touchdown. Touchdown rings. Soft move or boss move?
This is a boss move. And one of the things I always loved about the U, besides they were brash and really talented, mm-hmm. and they represented a lot of the things that we represented as the Fab Five. I appreciate innovation and originality. And it almost is like hip hop. You come out with the songs, and then you see everybody else coming with different types.
Gotta keep
like,
moving.
Now I'm gonna come gotta with something else. I like that.
Exactly.
Boss
I
move.
Agree. I agree. You got, if, oh, everyone else got a turnover chain? Guess what? We're gonna switch it up on you. We're gonna keep moving. Jalen, a Cowboys fan went on Reddit and said that he would eat his Ezekiel Elliott jersey if the Saints even came close to beating the Cowboys. Now, we all saw what happened on Sunday Night Football. And then this fan has since deleted the post. Jalen, not living up to your word, even though it's on the internet, soft move or boss move?
Smart move.
Okay.
That's what that is. Because we all say things for our favorite team that we ultimately end up regretting sometime.
It's almost like...
But also, that's unrealistic.
Wait, it's almost like you did something similar one time when you said the Lions were going to make the playoffs. And here you are eating the cinnamon, part of the cinnamon challenge at one of our live shows. You ate the actual cinnamon. You made sure we had buckets there in case you threw up. I was so proud of you in this moment. I was so proud of you. And then I was with you that night, like 5 hours later, you still weren't the same.
My
you
eyes
still
were
weren't the same. You were still not the same.
My throat
after
was
five
dry.
Hours. So to that fan who deleted that post, Jalen Rose is a man who lives up to his commitments. Yep. A Korean golfer named Byo Kim was in the lead on the 16th hole in a tournament. In the lead. High pressure. Only in the lead by one. He's at the tee. He drives, and in the middle of his swing, he hears the camera click of a cell phone, and he gets upset. So what does he do? He gives a one-finger salute to the fan. He's punished. 3-year suspension. Giving a guy a 3-year suspension because he flipped off a fan. Soft move or boss move?
That's a soft move.
That's a soft move.
I just seen somebody have some sort of cocaine situation happen in hockey, and they got 3 games.
Mm.
He did the middle finger and got 3 years? Vontaze Burfict
is so upset. Vontaze Burfict is like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, you need my lawyers or something? And here's the thing that really gets me about this one. It's not, like we said, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it. It's also when you do it. When you're ahead by one on the 16th tee, that's a high-pressure situation. And golf and tennis are these weird sports where everyone has to be quiet. I don't know why. I don't know why we get to yell at the guy shooting free throws, but all of a sudden, if you're going to serve a tennis ball, we need complete silence across the board.
I got one word for why that's the case in those sports.
Don't say it.
Cultural.
I knew you were going to say cultural.
You know it is.
I knew you were going to say cultural.
Those are considered gentlemen sports. That's why. In the other sports, you can heckle me all day in basketball, football, all day.
I got a new idea. NBA arenas. Next time the opposing team is at the free throw line, just go completely silent. I think that would probably be more distracting than all the yelling and the cheering and the signs and everything.
That's a good idea.
The Jalen and Jacoby Podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven.
Hey, ladies!
Women's Wednesday here on Jalen and Jacoby, where we celebrate the kinder, more intelligent, more responsible, more mature, more reliable, superior gender of the human species, the ladies. We do so by taking only female voicemails like this one.
Hello, Jalen and Jacoby. This is Dez coming from Seattle, Washington. My question for y'all is, how do y'all feel about the possibility of Kobe Bryant becoming a WNBA coach once his daughter eventually gets into the league?
Okay, the question is how do we feel about Kobe Bryant becoming a WNBA coach when his daughter enters the league? Now, first of all, very presumptuous. Very presumptuous. You know, this is, nothing is promised, especially professional athletic careers. And second of all, the only way I could see this happening is if it was his daughter. But he seems to take a lot of pride and passion and commitment to his daughter's athletics, which I really love that as a dad. Another thing I want to mention before we get to her question, Jalen, I was the very first person in media to mention the fact that LeBron James is going to play with his son. I did this on
years ago
on Sports Nation. And I asked them to pull the tape. They can't find the tape. Like, I really want to pull that tape and put a date on it. Because I was the first person to ever mention it.
Now you see why it's important to me to have broken news.
Yeah.
This is why people come to our program. This is what makes us the intimate tastemaker show. Mm-hmm. You can get the exclusive information in the trunk and disseminate it to the man.
Get it first.
Breaking news.
And you got it first.
To Jalen and Jacoby listeners, it's broken news.
So what do you think about Kobe being a WNBA coach?
I love this idea. I appreciate the caller's foresight with this idea. Mm-hmm.
Shout out.
And it's not far-fetched for me.
Well, let me say something. Just like you and the Big Three, it's a real job. You know what I mean? Like, you got travel involved, late nights, film sessions. When you're rich and you're Kobe and you got other daughters that are still in Southern California, all you gotta do is drive to their practices. I don't know.
I'm gonna give you a different way to look at it. They only play during the summer. Kids out of school. If your daughter on the team, your wife is gonna be there at the games anyway. As a parent, you'll want to be at the practices and or the games anyway. You'll probably be traveling on the road to go to the games. And you want her to be the best possible player and play on the best possible team. I like this, and I'm just telling you, just like one of our production meetings, we talked about this as when we were on Grantland with the Pop Father. When we go into a room and we cook up all of these amazing ideas, Jacoby been producing for 20 years. I'm a ghetto producer, but now we're both television talent. Bill is television talent, been a producer forever. When we walk out of the room,
It's all of ours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all of ours.
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to disseminate to the masses. And yeah. I want to say this about our caller. I want you to smile when you see me on Get Up and I say this.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We're not going to name check
you. When I say this on Countdown.
You're not going to say Dez from Seattle said blah,
I might
blah,
forget
blah,
your
blah.
Name, Dez.
No, no.
But I'm shouting you right now.
Shout out. Yeah.
And I'll make sure I send you a hoodie or something when I do it.
Oh, I love it. You take my opinions and my phrases and my sayings all the time, and I watch you on TV, and it's an honor. It's an honor.
You're a producer.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
This is why I wanted to do the show with a producer.
Of course. Appreciate you.
See, people sleep on that. If I would have been doing it with another athlete, not that we can't be producers as well.
Oh, of course. You're
a great
producer.
But you got hired at ESPN to produce. I initially got hired at ESPN to be an analyst. Now when you combine those worlds, we unstoppable.
I take some from you, you take some from me.
We unstoppable.
That's how a good, you know, working relationship goes. So, what was it? You sent us a text, and it was like, we should do, it was Monday. You sent us a text about the NFL Sunday and how we should approach it on the show. And at the end, you finished with, I'm the best producer. And I was talking with Harlan about it, and I was like, was he joking? And Harlan was like, no, he was not joking.
Oh, I wasn't joking.
I thought it was like a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Oh, no.
Not that it was a little sarcasm?
Oh, no.
No. He's
no.
really
yeah,
honest
yeah, yeah.
that he's the best producer. Oh, we got a problem here. Jalen. So, you know, we spend a lot of time preparing topics for the show and, you know, we run them by you. And even though we say you don't prepare, you prepare, but you still have that Darrell Revis sensibility to you where you just want to derail the show.
But it's funny. You got to keep saying I don't prepare because I want people to think I got these jobs and I don't work hard.
You do.
In case they want to come and try to take my job, they're going to think it's easy.
I see what you're doing. Throw them off the set. Throw them off the shirt. So I was just looking through Instagram and, you know, shout out to the streetwear brand Pleasures. I follow them.
Shout out.
And they've got a post of a gentleman getting his hair cut, and his barber is facing him. I think he's doing his shape up, you know. And then his barber straddles him and gives him a shape up. But not only that, the man getting his shape up like kind of caresses his leg while he's being straddled. So, Jalen, you know, it's obviously intimate. You've got someone all over your head touching on yourself. What do you think about the straddle shape up?
I think that's gone way too far.
I've seen a million shape-ups in my day. How many times have you seen someone get a shape-up or gotten a shape-up yourself?
So I've gotten as many haircuts as anybody my age walking the face of the earth.
Easily, more. You might be the champion.
Okay. There are certain etiquette when you're getting your haircut of things that the barber shouldn't do. Like rub his midsection against your arm or shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example. Ain't that one of the things?
And this is invasion of personal space. This has nothing to do with, you know,
correct
homophobia.
No, absolutely not. When you're standing in front of me cutting my hair, you don't have to be sitting or leaning all on my knees or on my lap.
No. There's no need. I've seen a million shape-ups, and they didn't have to straddle me and be on my lap. So why do you need to? This shape-up better be so good. This shape-up better be so
but
good.
I got a better question for you.
Okay.
I'm loyal to the best barbers in the world.
This isn't even a question. We talk about this all the time.
She is 215 exclusive in LA.
Shout out.
Shout to Andy Authentic, representing Connecticut.
Shout out.
Shout to my brother Hawk, representing the ATL, Furious Styles.
Shout out.
I must say this. As somebody that's not loyal to a barber, you go into a barber shop, and that barber just got finished cutting somebody hair, and it's the only chair. Do you sit down?
No. I got to draw the line somewhere.
So,
I got to draw the line somewhere.
What happened to Die Easy Jacoby?
I'll spend the extra 15 minutes for that.
What happened to the time crunch Jacoby?
So the question for you is much like an Uber driver, I don't want to talk too much to my barber. I don't want to talk too much. But you've got real relationships with these people. Do you spend the entire time chatting and catching up and small talking?
Absolutely. They're my friends.
Okay. See, I don't really want to do that.
They're my friends.
Yeah, I like to close my eyes and put some music in and just rock.
But when I get an Uber driver, that's not my friend.
No.
And I purposely, I'm going to give some guys some tips. Public figure tips, personal tips. You don't even have to be famous to take these couple of tips.
And we're putting it on wax.
I always like to get new drivers. Because That's what creates what you just talked about.
Over time.
Over time. The conversation part. And then you know what else that creates? Enough times you've been in the car where they can put together some conversations that they've ear hustled.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They start to be in your business because they've got a year of listening to bits and pieces of conversations so they know more about your life than you actually, you know, want them to. That's fair. I don't really trust anybody.
Me either.
I don't really trust anybody.
And I got to say one more thing that I wasn't going to say, but I say what I want to say.
Okay. Shoot up the club.
My mouth is sore. Been to the dentist the last couple of days. Mouth is sore. I'm going to show you something. Uber drivers, probably shouldn't say this, but it's a fact. I hope to get an Uber driver that doesn't speak the best English.
Why?
Because I don't want them ear hustling my conversations.
Okay.
That's exactly why.
Okay. So if you see your Uber driver's name is Daniel, you're like, nope, cancel.
I won't cancel.
Nope, cancel.
You ready for this?
Uber driver named Steve, cancel.
Well, I do a lot of working while I'm jumping in and out of cars.
You also do a lot of sleeping.
Correct.
Yeah.
Returning calls, returning texts.
I get a lot of Jalen Rose calls from Ubers.
Correct. And so when I'm in a car, if the person doesn't speak the best English, he or she ain't trying to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to dissect my conversation. If I do get a driver that speaks perfect English, I just don't make calls in the car. That means something to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one thing that me and you do is if we have a driver that speaks English, is we can speak in a certain way and use certain terms where it's like a code, where it's almost like a different language only you and I understand.
No question.
Close friends can always do that.
And here's another thing I want people to always pay attention to. When you get in a car and you look at the windshield and it contains a camera, it is recording.
But that's only famous people stuff. Like, you don't understand. You're just famous. Like, these are famous people problems. Regular people like myself, I don't care if you're recording me. I do not care.
Everybody cares about being recorded. It's like opening your mail.
It's
your personal space and information. Whatever you're talking about in that vehicle, whatever you're doing in that vehicle, whatever you may be drinking, whatever you may be smoking, whoever you may be talking to, you don't want one person driving a vehicle to now have it on tape.
Doesn't bother me.
What? And I got to tell you a secret. You are famous.
Not like you, though.
That's different.
Not like you, though.
You're famous,
not like
fam.
You, though.
You're famous. Your name is on the show. How many people that have national shows have their names attached to them?
Listen, I know the executives don't listen to the podcast, but maybe they'll listen to this one. I don't want to give them any ideas. Let's keep it just like this. Jalen Rose, I didn't play in the NBA. Watched a lot of NBA, but there are certain aspects of the NBA life and team that I don't know anything about, which is why for this next topic, we need you to take us behind the curtain. D'Angelo Russell had his first practice with the Warriors. No big deal. Practicing with the Warriors, he said that, you know, Steve Kerr wanted them to spend a little extra time and you know, build the chemistry. They have some veterans and some young people they wanted to mix in. All this is normal. And he was asked about the length of practice, and they said it was 2.5 hours. And he said, I can't remember a single practice that went 2.5 hours last year. Jalen, take us behind the curtain. Is 2.5 hours a long practice?
It doesn't have to be. So there are a lot of things that encompass quote unquote practice.
Thank you.
Film study is usually different from the time you spend on the floor. And there's a lot of different ways you can spend on the floor. You can spend 5-on-5. You can be doing drills. There may be a lot of instruction that stops the play. There may be scrimmaging happening. There may be a coach working with the bigs on one end, coaches working with the guards on another end. So there are a lot of things happening within the infrastructure of the word practice. So usually for me, that time frame is about right, 2-2.5 hours.
That's what it seems like. Maybe it's 2.5 hours on the court, but by the time you walk in the building to the time you walk out, like how long is that for? And I understand it's different when you're in the middle of the season on the road or whatever, but in this point in the season, when you walk in, you walk out, that's got to be like 4 hours,
that's
right?
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm saying.
I'm going to walk you through it. So first off, if practice started 10,
mm-hmm.
You want to be there at least an hour and a half before practice starts.
8:30.
Yeah, because you want to get treatment. You want to make sure that you're in the building in case any film study or stuff come up. You want to pull a coach or something to the side. They want to obviously do the same things with you. And just to spend quality time in the locker room with
sure,
your teammates.
Especially this early in the season.
See, one of the things people forget about being a professional athlete, you're in a room with a bunch of multimillionaires that can relate to most things that you're going to go through or have gone through that 99% of the world cannot. That's why people always talk about missing the locker room and the kinship of their teammates when they're done playing. So then you go on to do the on-floor stuff that we just described. And then after, the exact same thing. Ice down, maybe watch a film, joke around with your teammates. Like, that becomes the brotherhood that eventually takes the floor and hopefully wins games.
So I've seen some footage from NBA practices, right? I've seen some footage from a lot of professional practices. It seems like they're kind of doing the same stuff we did in high school. It's not that advanced. Is it really just kind of like a high school basketball practice?
Well, what it is it's you, all drills are made equal. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to warm up. You're going to do 3-on-2, 2-on-1.
Yeah,
you're
going to
do
weave. Stuff we used to do.
You're going to do shoot drill from the top in the corner.
I always thought you guys were doing some different
elbow
stuff.
Elbow to elbow. Yeah. What makes it different as an NBA player though is the tempo.
Yeah.
Like young people work on their games, but they don't do it game speed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. That's what you get in an NBA practice. And that's why they're the best of the best.
Jalen, it's time for something that is news to me. You've been talking about this forever because you're rich and you're always in first class. You're so privileged and you're so rich. You're always in first class and you complain about people going to the first class bathroom from coach. I used to do it myself. Well, a couple was on an Alaska Airlines flight from Vegas to Portland and they got upset that people were using the first class bathroom and they started complaining and they wanted the people that work on the plane to make an announcement. They got so upset that they were issued a warning that they're being unruly. And they have then sued the airline.
What?
Jalen Rose, are you with these people that sued the airline because they wanted their precious first class bathroom
to
themselves?
And I have to just say this for the one or two people that think that we like dead serious, that all of this is tongue in cheek. But in reality, I do like the people that buy first class tickets to actually function in first class. The same with coach. Here's what I think about that couple.
What?
I'm sending them hoodies.
You're sending them hoodies?
I'm sending them hoodies.
They get hoodies?
Yes.
Oh, reach out to us if you're that couple. You might not win the lawsuit, but you'll have some fresh hoodies. My man. We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN 2 at 2.
We're not done. Got to give the people time. Give people what they want.
They're my little guys. I love them.